1 Kings chapter 15. Now in the 18th year of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, Abijam began to reign over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Abishalom. He walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with Yahweh his God as the heart of David his father. Well, David did quite a lot of sin, didn't he? He killed a lot of people that he didn't really need to kill. He killed Uriah, his faithful servant, and other men of Israel to try to cover up that murder in order to steal Uriah's wife that he'd slept with. So, I mean, he did a lot of things that weren't right. And yet, he's continually stated as being a righteous man whose heart was with God. So I think it shows that in the overall picture of God's judgment of a man's life, he looks not so much at the great moments of sin or of righteousness and commitment and faith, like when David killed Goliath, but of the overall heart position. It's who you really are in your heart, what you think about as you walk down a street, as you go to bed at night. It's that which is so significant to God. Nevertheless, for David's sake, Yahweh his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him, because David had done that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh and didn't turn aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Well, I think there were other things he did wrong, but the issue with Uriah is particularly mentioned. And that, by the way, helps you have another window of understanding on that incident when David numbers Israel, and apparently the people suffer because of it. And David feels that he's sinned, and yet he had the right to take a census of Israel, to number Israel, and the judgment was really because they hadn't paid the temple tax, which they were supposed to take when there was a census. And yet David beats himself up over it. But here that isn't mentioned. The issue is except only in the matter of Uriah. So I think that that shows that you can sometimes feel guilty about stuff you don't need to feel guilty about. It's called false guilt. Other people make you feel bad about something. But then there's true guilt, the guilt we actually should take before God for what we actually do wrong. But whatever, true guilt, false guilt, Jesus is the guilt offering. It is all dealt with in him. Now there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. The rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, they're written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah. And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. Abijam slept with his fathers and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa reigned in his place. He reigned 41 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Abishalom. Asa did that which was right in the eyes of Yahweh, as did David his father. Well, he actually didn't always do what was right, but then neither did David always do what was right. It's really interesting reading these summaries of how God judges people. He judges them overall, on their sort of overall behaviour. And he doesn't max out on their specific acts of failure, as if, right, that's it, that means you're out. It means that he, in the way that only God can, we can't do this, but in the way that only God can, he looked at the whole thing and saw the overall heart situation in a person. He put away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. It just shows that a bad man can have a good son, and a good son can have a bad son. A good father can have a bad son, and a bad father can have a good son, because each person must make their own relationship with God. All parents can do is to set their children on the path. It would be sort of unfair that somebody sort of had special privilege and got into the kingdom of God because they had a good mum and dad. It sort of wouldn't be right. And God thirsts for personal relationship with people. That's how it has to be. Maacah, his mother, he removed from being queen because she had made an abominable image for an Asherah. And Asa cut down her image and burnt it at the brook Kidron. It's really hard to challenge your family members over misbehavior and idolatry, but he did. The high places, however, were not taken away, but the heart of Asa was perfect with Yahweh, or complete with Yahweh, all his days. He brought into the house of Yahweh the things that his father had dedicated and the things that he himself had dedicated. It's interesting that his father was evil, but he still dedicated things to God and put them in the temple. So it just shows that you can be generous, materially generous, and yet that doesn't necessarily mean that you are with the Lord in your heart. And you may still be judged overall as having been evil. Because, of course, you can't buy your way into the kingdom of God. And so, whenever Israel were actually asked to be generous, at various times building the tabernacle, various rebuildings of the temple, they were always very generous, even too generous, gave more than was needed. So it's easier to give money than it is to give your heart. But what God really wants is your heart. There was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built Ramah, so that he might not allow anyone to go in or come out to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and the gold that were left in the treasures of the house of Yahweh and the treasures of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who lived at Damascus, saying, "There is a treaty between me and you, between my father and your father. I've sent to you silver and gold, so please break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may leave me alone." Ben-Hadad listened to King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. It happened when Baasha heard of it that he left off building Ramah and lived in Tirzah. Well, this wasn't faith, was it? This is what the weak kings of Judah did continually. They gave money to the other nations and tried to make treaties with the other nations so that they would come and help them, instead of trusting solely in God. So this was weakness, and actually a lot of the men of Israel, that is the 10 tribes, suffered because of this and were killed. So he didn't have a bigger picture wanting to do what was right for God's people. He was only interested in his own little, as it were, group of people within God's people in Judah who he was interested in and amongst whom he lived. He didn't want to have any bigger vision, feeling that the 10 tribes are all the same, the children of God and part of God's Israel. He didn't care that they suffered because of his lack of faith. Now the rest of all the acts of Asa and all his might and what he did and the cities that he built, they're written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah. But in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. And we're told in the parallel record that he did not turn to God for help, but he turned instead to doctors. Doesn't mean it's wrong to turn to a doctor, but the idea is he trusted in the doctors rather than in God, and that didn't save him. And yet, you've got to remember the overall description of him, that God saw that this man was basically good in his heart, even though he turned to human strength, such as the king of Syria or his doctors, rather than to God. But that does not mean he did not believe in God or that he had turned away from Yahweh. He didn't. Nadab, the son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah. He reigned for 2 years and did what was evil in the sight of Yahweh and walked in the way of his father, Jeroboam. And in his sin, that's the making of the golden calves with which he made Israel to sin. Baasha of the house of Issachar conspired against him, and Baasha struck him at Gibbethon, for Nadab and all Israel were laying siege to Gibbethon. Even in the third year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasha killed him and reigned in his place. As soon as he was king, he struck all the house of Jeroboam. until he destroyed them, according to the saying of Yahweh which he spoke by his servant Ahijah, for the sins of Jeroboam which he sinned. The rest of the acts of Nadab are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. There was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasha the son of Ahijah began to reign over all Israel in Tirzah for 24 years. He did evil in the sight of Yahweh, walked in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin with which he made Israel to sin. So these people were sinning because they were walking in the way of the men who had gone before them. The following of tradition is something that's naturally attractive to us, because really we're in this world as little children. We don't really know of ourselves very confidently how we should live or go. We just look to those who went before, to those who are around us. That's the natural thing to do. But of course, as God's children, you should look to God. That's what you should do. And go in his way and not in the way of men.